It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
And he's going to keep one downfield. Pass the defense is Cruz, who's got it at the 20. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 70 yards. Salsa time and Big D. Victor Cruz with another.
Play fake. Freeman back to throw. Under pressure. Heaves it downfield. Intercepted by Roll at the 5. Runs left to the 15. Cuts right back to the 20. Looking for a block up to the 30. And drag down there.
Manning takes the snap, back to throw. Sidearms one left sideline, and it's caught for the touchdown by Reuben Randall.
Golzine takes the snap.
Pass intercepted as he threw it right. Picked off by a jumping Jason Pierre-Paul, and he runs it in for the touchdown. And finally, Carl, you can say you're down with JPP, the 28-yard TD.
Now, here's your host, John Schmel.
It's Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com, 201-939-4513. Or if you prefer, you can reach out to us on Twitter. We'll take your comments and questions and get the conversation going at hashtag GiantsChat. Happy Friday, everybody. The weekend is on the horizon. Alleluia. And the NFL draft is now less than 2 weeks away. By this time in 2 weeks, the first round will be in the books, and the Giants will be prepping for Friday night, rounds 2 and 3 on day 2 of the National Football League draft. We will be joined by Rob Rang today. He's the number one draft analyst for CBS, for Draft Express, an NFL draft scout. So this guy's on top of it. He's one of the best in the business. He'll give us an idea of where this draft board at the moment is playing out here and exactly what it looks like the Giants might be doing as they get closer to the draft in a couple of weeks. So he'll be joining us at 9:45. I'll throw out a couple nuggets off the top of the show. I'll get some calls in before we get Rob on. Then Rob should be with us till about 10, maybe a little bit later than that, and then we'll move on from there. So a couple nuggets that I've seen on guys over the course of the last few days that I want to comment on. Number one, a piece of news. Cody Latimer from Indiana, who some people have ranked as a top 6 or 7 wide receiver, is working out today. He was dealing with a foot injury, did not work out at the combine. So that'll be a pretty important workout. He's a guy that could go in the second round. Former basketball player in high school. Didn't actually play receiver until he got to college. He's 6'2", 215, good leaper, very strong. Bench pressed 24 times at the combine, which is impressive. So that's a workout to keep an eye on today. He could be a second-round pick with that second tier of wide receivers, you know, the Jordan Matthews of the world and Dante Moncrief and, you know, those types of guys. So that's something to keep an eye on going on today. A couple other things I find funny. And some people love Mettenberger and Tom Savage, the quarterbacks from LSU and Pitt. And Savage is also at Arizona for a year, at Rutgers for two. I don't get what the infatuation is with these guys. I get they have the body and the arm strength to be NFL quarterbacks. They're, you know, they're both 6'4", 6'5", you know, 215, 220. You know, they have cannon for arms. They're, you know, can get the ball down the field, make all the throws, and that's all great. Here's the problem. A, they're not accurate passers. Two, they weren't even very good in college. And look, Savage, you can make the argument he, you know, switched programs a lot. It's put him behind the eight ball. But remember, he's also 24 years old. So that's another minus in his column. But for a guy like Mettenberger, who started 2 years at LSU and had all this talent around him. I mean, look, he has two wide receivers that are going to be first-round picks this year, or first and second-round picks this year, in Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry. And this kid still couldn't play. I mean, he was fine, but for you guys that watch LSU football games, what was LSU's issue? They couldn't put the damn ball in the end zone. They couldn't score. And I don't know, Mettenberger just didn't impress me. I don't understand why these guys are going with the boards. I take A.J. McCarron. I take the Garoppolo kid out of Illinois, Eastern Illinois, who I like a lot, before I take him, either of those guys. So I even take the kid Murray out of Georgia before I take one of those guys. So that's my opinion. A couple other things. Bradley Roby was apparently arrested yesterday for operating a vehicle under the influence. It's called an OVI. That's the acronym, obviously. Apparently, he was passed out in a parked car or a car that was stopped. I'm not, you know, there's varying reports on exactly what happened, but that could theoretically affect his draft status. He was going to be likely a second-round pick. He was invited by the NFL to be there on draft night. And that's pretty much all the news going on. There's not a whole lot else. We can still talk about the schedule if you want, or anything else in the world of the NFL and the world of the New York Football Giants. But let's get to the phones first at 201-939-4513. In about 10 minutes, again, Rob Rang from CBS Sports, Draft Express, and NFLDraftScout.com will be joining us. But let's go to Steve in Washington, D.C. to lead off the show. Steve,
Pole position on Friday.
You're in early today, man. What's going on, Steve?
Yeah, I have to call in early, John, because if I wait to the middle of the show, sometimes I can't get the program to come back on my cell phone.
Ah.
So I want to call in early. But listen, first of all, I wanted to say that I don't really know who's going to be there by the time we know. Obviously, none of us know who's going to be there at 12. But if I had it my way, I want to go with LaJuan. But I don't. I'm saying LaJuan because I think he might be the only person there within our reach at 12. But what I am thinking now is I'm thinking we could go up to the sixth spot with the Rams and get Evans. What do you think about that? What would it take, John?
You mean the Falcons? You mean the Falcons at six?
I thought the Rams are at six.
No, the Rams are at two, but the rumor is that the Falcons might trade up with St. Louis to the two spot. So maybe that's what you saw, but the Falcons right now pick at number six.
Where do you think, how far would we have to move up to get Evans?
I think if you want to safely get Mike Evans, you have to move ahead of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at seven.
I think we should do it. What do you think it would take?
All right, well, let me bring up the trade chart here. Hold on, and I'll let you know what the point system tells me first before I start telling you exactly what I would think it would take. Now, just based on the numbers here, the sixth pick in the draft is worth 1,600 points, and the 12th pick in the draft is worth 1,200 points. So that would generally be your second-round pick to move up that many spots. However, there's generally speaking a premium put on first-round picks where you're going to have to overpay what the chart tells you. So I'd say that'll probably cost you it'll probably cost you two and a four or two and a five, something like that.
I think it's worth it. What do you think?
I mean, here's the thing. I understand Mike Evans, and quite frankly, I thought about this a lot yesterday. If Evans and Ebron would both be there at 12, which is never going to happen, I think I'd probably prefer Evans to Ebron. So I'm a big Mike Evans fan. I think he's going to be a great player. That being said, I don't think it's worth losing two picks to go up and get a guy like Evans because I think you're going to get, maybe you're not going to get someone that's the perfect need and value at 12, but you're going to get somebody that's good enough that's worth that's not worth trading two picks to move up to six. You know what I mean? I think you'll get a good enough player at 12, and I don't want to sacrifice half my draft to do it.
I don't know if we, I'm ready to settle for just good enough. I want a playmaker like everybody else, man. But I respect your opinion, I don't know. It kind of seems like it's worth it to me, but
Steve, the thing about it is we talked about it all year, though. This team has so many needs. I hate to take basically what you're doing, for a lack of a better metaphor here, is, you have a target, and you have to hit the target six times. And right now the Giants have seven shots, in their chamber to, hit that target six times. If you make that trade, you're taking two bullets out of the chamber. And it makes it a lot harder to hit that target the amount of times you need to hit it if you're taking bullets out of the gun. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I only see it. The only position I see we need more is possibly a tackle or offensive lineman, So to me, it's kind of worth it. Like I said, I definitely respect your opinion. But, after hearing Victor Cruz on the NFL Network last night saying hypothetically what he would draft, it kind of threw me over the top. So, I'll go ahead and put that out there. Cruz kind of swayed my thinking a little bit in that regard. But I also wanted to talk about, I didn't get a chance to call him the other day. We had the guy on from Michigan. Man, listen, John, that dude was full of it. He was playing both sides of the fence. First, he said we didn't know enough about LaJuan, but yet he was trying to say he's a good guy off the field, this, that, and the other. I expected him to say all those things, even though he tried to act like he didn't know anything about the guy. All said and done, with all the rumors we heard, I still want LaJuan. But I didn't really think that he really gave us much. I mean,
well,
if
Steve,
it would have been a courtroom.
Steve, unfortunately, the issue is with these guys that that cover the college team, they do not get the type of locker room access and access to the players that we do. I mean, it is very, very restrictive. So, I mean, he can go by what people say. He can go by what, you know the talk around the water cooler is in Michigan about guys like that, which is sometimes more valuable than actually being in the locker room. So he said he wasn't sure what kind of locker room guy that he was, but he did say he had a feel that, you know, that he's not a quote-unquote bad guy.
Yeah, well, hey, listen, I don't care. I want a nasty attitude offensive lineman. As long as he don't hurt us with penalties and getting, you know, suspensions, I'm okay with that. I think that's exactly what we need personally. But so I have no problem with it. I think he's worth the pick. You know, and my main thing is this. I know nothing else is going to matter if E.I. is not upright. So, you know, I don't know if he'll be there, but, you know, I kind of want to move up. So, you know, I appreciate you taking my call. I'm going to be listening off air. And I hope you guys bring it today. It's Friday, and I'm looking forward to the draft, John. So hold it down, buddy. I'll be listening off air. Thanks for taking my call, Steve.
Appreciate it, bud. And look, guys, I get you want to trade up to get the guy you want to get, but this team has so many needs, and they have to restock their depth. I do not want to trade away picks, especially not in your number two. You know, we've said you want to come away to this draft with two or three starters, right? Well, if you trade your second and your fourth away to move up to the sixth pick, you're not coming away with three starters, and there's a decent chance you're not coming away with two. That's a problem. I get you on that guy. I get it. But don't go nuts. I will say this, though, and Steve did bring up Victor Cruz's comments yesterday on NFL Network, which I thought were pretty telling. For those of you out there that don't think the Giants need weapons, well, how often do guys lobby to have somebody at the position they play get drafted? All right? Not often. You know what that tells me? That tells me Victor Cruz was damn sick and tired of getting double-teamed every play last year. And he wants somebody that will try to take the pressure off him a little bit. Tim's in Jackson. Tim, what's up? Tim?
Hello?
Tim, you there?
Hello?
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. I'm sorry. Is this Ed in Maryland?
Yeah, Ed in Maryland.
Ed, I hit the wrong button, man. My fault, dude. What's going on?
What's going on, John? I have a question about Prince. I was hearing his interview yesterday. I'm not sure if you heard it. I think he was talking to Ralph Vacchiano.
Yeah.
And he asked him how he feels about the Giants adding all the cornerbacks. And Prince gave an answer that was kind of bothersome to me. He was saying something. He was talking as if he was already gone for the Giants, and he was talking in past tense and mentioning something as if he was going to leave the Giants. I'm not sure if you've seen an article about him having a fifth-year option and the Giants thinking about picking it up.
Yeah, Ed, I was actually standing there while that conversation took place, and I understand reading the quotes why you would think that, but I think Prince is just, you know, anxious to get that option picked up. He wants it picked up, and quite frankly, I think the Giants will pick it up. So until we get past that deadline, I wouldn't get too worried about it. I think Prince is certainly in the Giants' long-term plans.
Well, I didn't read the quotes. I actually heard his comments, and I think he took it out of context, taking it as, like, Ralph was trying to ask him, and he took it as if, you know, the Giants signed the cornerbacks to take his job, when really the Giants signed BRC and Thurman to help him play cornerback.
Right.
And, you know, it seemed like Prince was worried about his job, so I didn't like, you know, how he took the question. And I was wondering, is he in the Giants' long-term plans? Because I know given DRC that big money contract, it's going to be hard if Prince has a good year to sign up to another big money contract and then have so much money tied in the cornerbacks.
Honestly, the way the manner and tone in which Prince answered those questions, he didn't seem upset, he didn't seem mad, he didn't seem disappointed. So I do believe Prince is in the Giants' long-term plans. Look, he has everything the Giants want. He's a good football player. He keeps his nose clean off the field. He's a good teammate. Unless he wants to break the bank, which I don't sense Prince Mukamara is the type of guy that's going to hold out for this ridiculously sized contract, I believe he is in the Giants' long-term plans.
Okay, and then a draft question. I wanted to ask about Anthony Barr.
Yeah.
Some you know, some guys had him ranked as high as number five to start the season, but now, you know, some kind of people have him dropping to 30. I think he's a perfect fit for the Giants as far as the need. Giants need a pass rusher, and he could probably play the hybrid linebacker role the way Schofield was supposed to do. What do you think about Anthony Barr as a draft prospect?
You know, Anthony Barr is a guy that's kind of falling on draft boards. He was originally right with Khalil Mack, but Mack has, you know, really outpaced him here. My problem with a guy like Barr for the Giants is that he's a 3-4 outside linebacker. He's not big enough to play defensive end. So he's going to be a situational pass rusher for you. He's raw. He's only played defensive linebacker a couple of years, so I think he's going to be a bit of a project. I think there is some bust potential with Barr. He's an unbelievable athlete, Ed, but I don't like picking a guy in the first round if you're a 4-3 defense that you have to convert to a new position. If you're a 3-4 team, it's something different, but not at 4-3. I got to go. I appreciate the call, man.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. And now we're joined by Rob Rang. He is the senior draft analyst for CBSSports.com. Rob joins us every year to talk about the draft. Rob, thanks for taking the time this morning. I appreciate it. John Schmelk here in New York. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, John, as always.
Hey, Rob, no worries, and thanks a lot for joining us. Well, let's get right to it, and I guess before we could talk about who the Giants might pick at 12, we need to figure out who's going to be on the board at 12, and that's really the trick of it. And I guess a big part of that, Rob, is how many quarterbacks are going to go here in the first 11 picks. So what are you seeing right now in terms of how those first 11 picks are going to go down in terms of what quarterbacks are going to be taken?
Well, I think we're having – With the NFL draft being pushed back a couple of weeks, we just have that much more time to talk about it, and it's that many more or that much more time to kind of conjure up reasons why quarterbacks might fall. But, you know, when it's all said and done, as you well know, you have to have a good quarterback to win in the NFL. And so I think when it's all said and done, you're still going to see these quarterbacks go. I personally believe that if somebody, quite possibly the Cleveland Browns, is going to take a flyer pick on Johnny Manziel. Blake Bortles, in my opinion, is the quarterback who has the highest upside of this draft.
I agree.
So I certainly believe that he's going to go up in that realm. And if that does happen, then I think that there's still a chance that the third quarterback goes. And in my opinion, that third quarterback is not going to be Teddy Bridgewater, who, by the way, happens to be my top-rated passer. I think it could be Derek Carr from Fresno State. He's the guy that has experience not only in a spread, that is obviously becoming more and more popular in today's NFL, but also a pro-style offense while at Fresno State. He led the country in passing touchdowns, led the country in passing yardage, and then went to the Senior Bowl and was dynamite there as well. So I can't remember the last time that we saw a quarterback that did all of those things and didn't go in the first round. So I think that the Giants, this could play exactly into the Giants' hands. There could be some very talented offensive and defensive linemen available to them at number 12, as well as the top-rated tight end.
Rob, I don't want to waste too much time on the quarterbacks here, but to me, I think insulting might be too strong of a word, but it's mind-boggling to me how Teddy Bridgewater's stock has fallen so much in NFL circles because of a pro day. Pro days, I mean, Blaine Gabbert had a great pro day. I mean, the guy had such a great year on film. I don't understand why people have overreacted so much to one pro day.
Well, I think when we talk about the pro day, then people unfortunately focus so much on, you know, just the lack of accuracy that he showed in that workout. And it's been well documented. He wasn't wearing the gloves. He had worn gloves throughout his career while at Louisville. So, but the other part of that pro day workout that really scared people off, and it scared anybody who's seen him in person, is just his build. I mean, this is a very slim build for a quarterback. I mean, I've had general managers I talked to who met with him privately, not only at the combine, but since, that say that when he walks into the room, you look at your paper, you think you're talking to a wide receiver.
Interesting.
You know, and so that's the biggest concern. The pro day workout wasn't so much about the lack of accuracy. It's just about when you actually see this kid without shoulder pads on, he is a very slim build. You can see why he might struggle with durability in the NFL.
All right, Rob, we're joined by Rob Rang, the head draft analyst for CBS Sports, an array of other things. You can follow him on Twitter, at Rob Rang. Mike Evans, Rob, how far has his stock risen here? Is there any chance that he could be there at number 12 when the Giants make their selection?
I think it's a very slim chance, but there is a chance if the quarterbacks start to go off the board. Now, I don't think that Mike Evans should be available. I think he's a top 10 pick. I think he's one of the elite prospects in this draft. I believe there are six blue-chip prospects, the two receivers, Evans and Watkins, the two tackles, Jake Matthews, and, of course, Greg Robinson, and obviously the two pass rushers. Khalil Mack and then King Clowney.
Very interesting. So Evan's probably not going to be there. How many tackles do you see off the board by the time the Giants pick at 12? Is Terrell Lewan going to be on the board? Do you think he's going to be gone with those other three?
I believe that Taylor Lewan does have a good chance of being available to the Giants. And if he is available, I really believe that he should be very much in the consideration to be their pick. This is a kid who is a very talented pass blocker. That, of course, is a huge area of concern for the Giants. You got to keep Eli Manning feeling good in that pocket. And I think that you'll see an incredible bounce-back season for him, just like we saw at the San Diego Chargers a year ago when they invested a similar pick in the right tackle, DJ Fluker. So I believe Taylor Lewan could be there just because I think that when it's all said and done, you're going to see teams go for the flashier position this year as opposed to last year when obviously offensive linemen went three of the first four picks.
How much is the Taylor Lewan off-the-field stuff, the pending trial, the charges, all that stuff, how are NFL teams reacting to that? Are some teams taking him off their boards completely? How are teams viewing those off-the-field issues for Taylor Lewan?
Every team I've spoken to that has demonstrated some interest in Taylor Lewan basically feels that it's a non-story, It's an issue in terms of he is aggressive and that the aggression that you see on the field does carry off the field. He is known for getting some personal fouls and things of that nature on the field for his aggressive behavior. But this is more a situation of circumstance rather than something where, he is a guy looking for trouble. So I have not heard of any team that's taken him off the board. And some teams have mentioned that, they certainly have done their due diligence, but that, they still expect him to be a player who goes in the top 15 to 20 picks, quite possibly in the top 12.
Now, one player, Rob, and we're joined by Rob Rang, senior draft analyst for CBSSports.com. And, Rob, one name that gets a lot of play here in New York is Eric Ebron. The Giants don't have a lot of experienced tight ends on the roster here. They need a playmaker on offense. What are the chances Ebron is there at 12? I know a lot of people think he might go to Buffalo at 9. And what type of player would the Giants be getting in Eric Ebron? Hey, Rob, it sounds like we're getting a little bit of a bad connection here. We're going to try to call you right back. It sounds like your line's cutting out. All right, we'll be rejoined by Rob Rang in just a second. We had a little drop cell phone there. Hopefully that's not a bad sign, asking him if Eric Ebron is going to be there when the Giants pick at at 12. But we will get Rob back on the line in just a second. Victim of a bad cell phone there. Rob's very busy. He's on the move. He's always up and about. So hopefully we'll try to get him back on the line here. But I thought it was very interesting how, Paul Dottino, when he was with us a few weeks ago, he really thought that a lot of teams were really nervous about Taylor Lewan and his off-the-field issues. But according to Rob, it really doesn't seem like a lot of these NFL teams are worried about the prospect of Lewan's off-the-field issues becoming a real long-term issue here. So I think that's a very important thing to keep in mind here moving forward as, the Giants decide who they want to pick. How much of an issue is that off-the-field stuff going to be for the Giants? Who do care about that sort of thing. They want to draft guys of a high caliber and guys that aren't going to get in trouble and guys that represent the organization well. So I think that's a pretty important thing to look forward here as the Giants decide who to pick. But the other thing that Rob said I thought was interesting is that Mike Evans likely will not be there at number 12, which I think everyone kind of thought. He has Mike Evans right up there with Sammy Watkins and the two pass rushes, the two tackles, which I thought was very interesting. You got Clowney, you got Watkins, you got Mack and all those guys. So I thought that was very interesting. And now we do have Rob Rang back with us from CBS Sports. And Rob, sorry about that. We had a little bit of a phone issue there. It looks like the Verizon gods are playing tricks with us. But we're asking you about Eric Ebron. Do you think he's going to be there at 12? And if he is, what type of player are the Giants getting?
I do believe that he's going to be there to the Giants at number 12. And I think that he absolutely should be in consideration. Again, he and Taylor Lewan, in my opinion, obviously the Michigan tackle, I believe that you're going to see them either go to the Buffalo Bills at number 9, as you mentioned, or slide down to the Giants at 12. They make sense for both clubs. With Eric Ebron, talking about the elite tight end prospect in the draft, obviously a player who is very similar DeVernon Davis obviously stand out with San Francisco 49ers. Elite athlete, very good quickness, can make people miss in the open field, can extend and make a very difficult catch, and is competitive as a blocker. He's not quite as consistent as a blocker or as a pass catcher at this point as you'd like, but he has the raw tools that you're looking for, and then you must invest a high pick to get just because he can be a difference maker.
Yeah, I want to ask you specifically about his blocking, Rob, because that's something obviously the Giants usually demand of their tight ends. He didn't do it a ton in North Carolina, especially in his last couple of years, but you do believe that he has the physical toughness, the willingness to engage as a blocker and be effective in that regard at the NFL level?
I certainly believe that he has the physical toughness and the competitive spirit that you're looking for. Excuse me. To block at the NFL. He just, as you mentioned, wasn't asked to do it very often because he's such a dynamic receiver that it didn't make a great deal of sense while at North Carolina to take him away from what he does best. But obviously in the Giants' offense, with the way that they use their tight end, I do believe that that would be a little bit more of a focus, and he has shown the competitive spirit and the strength and the explosiveness, frankly, to be able to hold off in that regard.
And Aaron Donald, another guy that's kind of in the mix for the Giants at 12. They could use another pass rusher. How high is he jetting up boards? Is he considered a potential top 10 pick now, or do you think he will be there at 12 for the Giants?
He's one of the wild cards. I mean, I could see him going as early as number 5 to the Oakland Raiders.
Wow.
Certainly number 10 to the Detroit Lions, and then as well with number 12. I mean, we've seen the Giants in the past that have been willing to fortify their pass rush over and over and over again, and it's a strategy, frankly, that I believe in as well. So if he is available to them at number 12, even more than Ebron, even more than Taylor Lewan, I believe that Aaron Donald is among the safer players in this draft. And while he isn't necessarily quite as big of a concern in terms of the need for defensive linemen, he may be in play just because of his spectacular play on the field and his sterling reputation off of it.
I'm going to play a little bit of a what-if game with you here, Rob, and I realize this scenario is unlikely, but I know some fans have asked me about it. Theoretically, at 12, if the Giants get up there and pick, and Lewan's off the board, Ebron's off the board, Donald off the board, Evans off the board, who is that next guy up in that next tier of prospects that you think would be a good fit for the Giants at number 12?
Well, I'm a big believer in Zach Martin, offensive lineman from Notre Dame. And he reminds me a little bit of Justin Pugh in that if he had a little bit longer arms and a little bit more of a prototypical tackle frame, then I think he'd be an easy top 10 pick. In fact, I have him rated higher personally than Taylor Lewan.
Wow.
But at the same time, he may be moved inside to guard, and that's going to limit his value in some people's eyes. I could see the Giants viewing Zach Martin as being the tackle that he proved himself to be while at Notre Dame, where he started a school record 52 games over his career. The other player that I would mention is the pass rusher Anthony Barr. Sure, he's raw, but he has unbelievable athletic ability for a guy at 6'5", 255 pounds. He does have the size to hold up as a defensive end. He just doesn't have the strength yet. But I think that if you put him in an NFL weight room, it's certainly going to take a year to really get him up to par. But just like the way that the Giants selected DeMontre Moore a year ago, I think that Anthony Barr would make some sense. Now, because of DeMontre Moore, Anthony Barr may not meet quite the sense for the Giants from a frontline perspective, but just considering the age and the depth of some of the Giants' other defensive linemen, always improving your depth at that position makes a great deal of sense in the first round. He certainly has first-round tools that you should be willing to gamble on.
We're joined by Rob Bryan from CBS Sports, their senior draft analyst. Rob, just want to look at the second round very quickly. Depending on what the Giants do in the first, they could be in the market for a wide receiver or a tight end. Let's start tight end first. Of Troy Nicholas and Austin Seferian Jenkins, I'll even throw in C.J. Fedorowicz in that mix. Which one of those three guys do you like the best?
Well, it depends on what you're looking for. I mean, Austin Seferian Jenkins is the best receiving tight end in this draft class. He's 6'6", 270 pounds. He goes up and gets the football like a wide receiver. That's just a phenomenal combination. But he's not necessarily as physical as a blocker as you'd expect for a player of that size. Now, Troy Nicholas, on the other hand, is very similarly sized, but is a fierce blocker at the point of attack. Doesn't have much in terms of speed or elusiveness after the catch, a little bit of a bull in a china closet. But at the same time, I love his toughness, and that's why I personally have him as the number 2 tight end in this draft class, behind only Ebron, I have Seferian Jenkins third, and C.J. Fedora, which is a little bit of a combination of the two. I think that he might be available to the Giants and perhaps other clubs as well in the third round because he isn't an elite athlete, but he's a pro-style guy who is very successful at the point of attack as a blocker, catches the ball well, just isn't a dynamic athlete. But I love the fact that he came back for his senior season and had a strong week of practice as well as the game itself at the Senior Bowl, and the Giants have shown a preference for players that do well in that capacity.
Rob, we all know how deep this wide receiver class is. That also means it's a bit of a mess, and you don't know who's going to be there, who's going to go in that second and third tier of wide receivers. At the Giants' position in the second round, I'll even ask you in the third round too, what are some wide receivers you think might be there with those two picks that you think would be good fits and also where the Giants would get some good value?
Well, you know, the Giants have looked for, you know, slot receivers and things of that nature, you know, the Victor Cruz and guys like that who are such dynamic athletes, and that's where they've had a great deal of success. So if you're looking for a player like that, if durability concerns were somehow to push like a Marquise Lee into the second round, he'd make some sense. Jarvis Landry from LSU, you know, it's kind of the exact opposite. He's a guy that didn't run very well during workouts, but you put the tape on, and he's just a reliable route runner, catches the ball cleanly with his hands, that he is a guy that makes a sense, and I believe is pro-ready after coming from LSU and former NFL head coach Cam Cameron's offense to be able to step in and play immediately. If you're looking for a little bit more of a not necessarily a diamond in the rough, but a guy that needs some development but has very exciting twos, here's two of them. Martavis Bryant from Clemson. Sammy Watkins got all the attention, but 6'4", 210 pounds, Bryant is a phenomenal athlete. He's going to, you know, ran in the 4.4s, really can go up and get the ball. So more of that Plaxico Burress type of talent and a guy you can mold and project in the future. And then if you're looking for a little guy who can do some things and make people miss in the open field, then Bruce Ellington from South Carolina is a receiver that I don't believe is getting enough attention. He's a little bit more in that Percy Harvin, Steve Smith mold, and a guy that is physical, is incredibly athletic, can make people miss, and is absolutely lightning with the way his first step acceleration.
Of the bigger down the field outside receiving threats, you mentioned Martavis Bryant. I'll throw Dante Moncrief in there. I'll throw Jordan Matthews in there. I'll throw the Coleman kid out of Rutgers in there. And anybody else that you think fits that, you know, more of the Plaxico Burress-esque type of receiver, who do you like in that group, and who do you think might be a good fit for the Giants?
Well, you just mentioned a bunch of them right there. You know, I'm a big fan of Dante Moncrief.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, he's a kid that, you know, I rated as a first round player coming into his junior season, and then unfortunately he wasn't nearly as productive as a junior as he was as a sophomore. But you see all the physical ability, and then he was absolutely lights out at the combine, which I love. Showed off that athletic ability, 6'2", 221 pounds, 4.40 seconds in the 40-yard dash, also explosive in the leaps, catches the ball well. He's just a really good football player that unfortunately hasn't got enough attention. Jordan Matthews, frankly, his workout showed athletic ability that I didn't believe that he'd shown on tape. Now, he's a very productive player against, obviously, SEC competition, but I think that he might be a little bit overrated, frankly, because I just don't see that same athletic ability. But again, a guy who has been productive against SEC competition, I believe can walk into the NFL and be a productive player. I just don't see that he's an upper echelon standout at the next level as a number one target type. Whereas Dante Moncrief has that potential. Allen Robinson from Penn State, in my opinion, has that type of potential. It comes from, again, a West Coast offense under Bill O'Brien. And then you may mention Brandon Coleman from Rutgers. He's a guy I'm very intrigued by because of his size, but at the same time, I don't think he's the same caliber of athlete as the other two players you mentioned. Kelvin Benjamin from Florida State also, because he's so big, 6'6", just like Brandon Coleman, 6'5", 6'6", but they're not very quick. They're more red zone targets rather than true X receivers in the NFL, in my opinion.
Two more quickies for Rob Rang. Rob, interior offensive lineman, round three for the Giants. Who do you think would be there and who would be a good fit?
Let's see. Well, you know, I think that we're going to see an early run on the interior lineman. And so that's where we might see a bunch of the guys go off the board in the second round. I'm a big fan of Weston Richburg. In my opinion, he's the top center in this draft class from Colorado State. Marcus Martin from USC is another player that could be available to them. in the top of the third round. It's not a great draft class in terms of interior offensive linemen. You might be looking at some of the small school players who have a very intriguing athletic ability, but don't necessarily or aren't necessarily going to be able to come in and compete at a high level immediately. Dakota Dozier is one who is very intriguing. Billy Turner from North Dakota State is another one who, again, had an impressive performance at the Senior Bowl.
And then finally, running back could be a third-day pick for the Giants here in round four. That'll probably take them out of the running for some of the top guys, the Hydes, the Jeremy Hills, and all that stuff. What's a sleeper running back that could be a day three pick that you think could make an impact in the NFL?
Well, that's the thing. There's a lot of running backs in this draft class. I think it's been mischaracterized as a weak class at running back. It doesn't have an elite guy that's going to go in the first round, but there are a number of players who I expect to go off the board in the third to fourth round. I really am anticipating a heck of a run at that position. Devontae Freeman is a kid from Florida State who is a Ray Rice clone and isn't getting much attention. He's certainly a terrific player. If somehow Washington's Bishop Sankey is available, in my opinion, he might just be the best three-down running back in this draft class. Arizona's Kadeem Carey, unfortunately, ran very poorly during his workout, 4.70, but you watch him, and he runs with the toughness and physicality. It reminds me of a young Ahmad Bradshaw. So if he is available to the Giants in the fourth round, I think that he could prove to be an absolute steal as well. And he also catches the ball very well out of the backfield.
Rob, give me your prediction. Giants at 12. What happens?
I think it's going to come down to the tackle. I mean, I think that Taylor Lewan fits a need. I think that he is a very good player who is a top 10 prospect on a lot of people's boards. Eric Ebron makes some sense, but I think that you can come back and get a tight end who's a little bit more physical at the point of attack in the second round, perhaps the Troy Nicholas or a pass catcher like Austin Seferian Jenkins. So I will go with Taylor Lewan, the tackle from Michigan, as number 12 overall pick in this year's draft.
Rob, appreciate the time. Rob Rang, senior draft analyst from CBS Sports. We will catch up to you at the draft, my friend. I appreciate it. Great stuff as always.
Thanks for having me on, John. Take care.
Great. Thank you, Rob. That's Rob Ryan. We'll catch up with him again. Maybe we'll see if we can get Rob on again the morning of the draft or the day before. Great stuff out of him. I think you guys hopefully learned a lot there. And a lot of the guys that he likes in that first, second, and even third and fourth rounds. And, you know, he said it. You can get a good running back here on day three and round four. And to me, I think that's the perfect fit for the Giants. Try to get that running back in round four of this draft. I think it'll be very, very interesting. Let's go to our phones at 201-939-4513. And let's go to Bleed Blue in Queens. What's up, Bleed Blue?
What's up, bro?
Doing all right, man. What's going on with you?
I'm all right. I've been trying to call forever, man. I work night shifts, so I get off in the morning. And every time I get on and listen to you guys like got like two callers left, so I never get a chance to call.
Well, I'm happy you had a chance to call this morning, bro. What do you got for me?
Yeah, fine. I got a couple things.
Yep.
I'm a little pissed off about something, but I'm gonna get to that in a minute.
Okay.
I'm kind of on the same page as the first caller about trading up for Evans. I think we can get that tight end, like a Dustin Keller, you know, in free agency in June or whatever. But I'm on that same page. I want to trade up to get Evans. It's about time we get a red zone. I'm tired of going to the red zone and we kicking field goals. I can't stand that.
But Bleed Blue, how about this? If you want a red zone target, you wait till 12, you take Eric Ebron. He's just as good of a red zone target as Mike Evans
is. I don't think he's going to be there. I think if not the Bills, I think the Lions might pick him up.
I think they might.
If he doesn't go to Buffalo, Detroit might pick him up.
Well,
I know they seen it.
Detroit just gave Brandon Pettigrew a bunch of money. I don't think they're going to use then a top 10 pick on Eric Ebron after they gave Brandon Pettigrew all that money in free agency.
Right. But if not, I think he'll go to Buffalo. I think Buffalo is not going to pass on him. I really don't think so. And I mean, if we could trade up to get Evans, I really want Evans. I like Evans. I think we should definitely go for it. But my question was, is there any way we could trade Nassib to avoid like a second rounder?
No, I mean, right now, well, look, first of all, Nassib was picked in the fourth round, so you're not going to be able to trade him for a second or a third rounder. Number two, the minute you draft a guy, he loses value. And Nassib hasn't shown anything in the NFL yet where he would even be worth a fourth-round pick. Now, you might be able to trade him for, like, a seven or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, you gotta nurture this kid, give him a chance to show you something in the preseason. Then if he has a couple really good preseason performances, then, you know, teams get interested. They're like, oh, maybe this kid can play a little bit. Then maybe he'll have some value in next year's draft.
Right. I got you. What I wanted to speak about this has really been irking me, and I've been trying to get you guys forever, but I just never could get the chance, and now I got my chance. About this Eli Manning declining, because it's just been irking me so much, bro. I can't believe that they're actually saying Eli Manning is declining. That protection, we didn't have no protection. Remember that Carolina game last year? He had no protection. As soon as he hiked the ball, they in his face. Eli's not a mobile quarterback. He's not going to run around and run for a 30-yard gain like the Wilson or Vic. He likes to protect himself. He doesn't want to get hurt. You see what I'm saying? I mean, he runs a little bit, but not when you got like 2-3 guys coming after him. Give him some protection. That's all I got to say. Give him some protection. Grab like LaJuan. I wouldn't mind if we pick up LaJuan and Evans and Ewan and Dan if we're not trading them. Grab LaJuan. I'm cool with that. We need protection. I think our defense is going to be nasty this year. But our offense, we got to have protection. If we could protect Eli, I'm telling you, he will pick you apart. And he's not declining. That's all I want to say. And I'm going to leave you with this. I've been watching NFL Network and ESPN, and they're saying we're going to go 9-7. I'm going to predict. If he gets protection and we pick up like a LaJuan and they protect Eli, I think we're going to win the NFC East at 10-6. And I'm going to leave you with that.
I appreciate it, Bleed Blue. Thanks, man.
Appreciate it.
Have a good one. I like the passion. And look, the Giants can win 10 games with that schedule. I think 9's reasonable, too. I think you got to see what happens in the draft. And frankly, you know, not to be like a killjoy here, let's see how the injuries go. I mean, that has such a big impact now in the NFL in terms of how seasons go. I mean, if you stay healthy, you can have a chance to win games. If you don't, you can have issues. I mean, it's simple, but it's true. You know what I mean? 201-939-4513. Let's go to Tarek. I'm not sure where Tarek's calling from, but we'll go to him next. Where are you calling from, Tarek? Tarek, you there? Going once, and we are sold.
Hello?
Yeah, Tarek, wait. Oh, you just beat in under the bell. What's going on, man?
What's going on, boss? Yeah, I'm calling from Jersey, actually.
What do you got for me, Tarek?
Yeah, I'm hearing everybody talk about, like, certain players or whatever. But I don't hear nobody talking about the Giants moving up. How about the Giants move up to get Watkins, Sammy Watkins?
I think that's a very expensive proposition, Tarek. Do you want to lose your second-round pick this year and then another pick in the middle rounds?
I mean, it's worth it, man. I mean, Sammy Watkins, I would trade up to get Sammy Watkins. No, I mean, he's worth the house to trade up for.
Hey, look, I love Sammy Watkins. I like Mike Evans, too. But to get, you know, Sammy Watkins might go second overall to the Rams in this draft if Clowney goes one. I mean, there's a possibility the Rams take him with the second overall pick. And if you want to move up to number two or number three, which is what you'd have to do to get Sammy Watkins, you're probably looking at trading next year's one and this year's two.
Or we could just stay put where we at. And even if Mike Evans off the board, I like Calvin Benjamin. Even if Calvin Benjamin ain't there in the first round, I like the wide receiver from Fresno State, Davante Adams.
Davante Adams is a good player. I think he'd be an excellent pick for the Giants in round two.
Yeah, he'd definitely be an excellent pick.
Well, you know, and Tarek, you know, that's the thing. To me, I wouldn't move up and pick I wouldn't trade up to pick a wide receiver in the first round. Now, if Evans falls in your lap, sure, you take him. But I wouldn't trade picks to move up only because I really think if you pick the right guy, you can get a very good receiver with a lot of potential that can be a starter in this league for a long time with that second-round pick if you pick the right guy.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you on that. I just don't feel like we should go offensive line and defensive line in the first round. I think we should grab, like, a skilled position to help Eli out.
I think the Giants also need to add a skill position guy or at least somebody on offense, even if it's an offensive lineman, to help Eli on offense.
From looking at the roster, man, I really think, like a couple of people said before, I think we got offensive linemen on the roster that can start. Like, we also got Brandon Mosley. I think he's promising. I think they need to give him a chance.
I think Brandon Mosley was given a pretty good opportunity last year. Unfortunately, he just hasn't been able to stay healthy. That's really been the issue with Brandon Mosley. He's been hurt for much of his career.
Oh.
Thanks, Tarek.
Oh. All right.
Have a good one, my man. Thanks for checking in. 201-939-4513. Shakes is in Baltimore, Maryland. What's shaking?
What's going on, John?
What's up, dude? How are you?
I'm all right, man. Oh, man. A lot to address real quick.
All right, well, Shakes, first of all, what did you think of what Rob had to say with potentially taking LaJuan there in the first round with Ebron in the mix and Donald also in the mix?
Like I said before, I don't like tackle in the first. I don't like it, but again, if it works out like Q did, then so be it. But here's my thing. I'm sorry, I'm really flustered right now because I have so much on my head on racing. But somebody had stole my thunder. I think it was the caller before, but whatever. Anyway, Steve from D.C., he was saying that we should trade up for Evans, and maybe so. Maybe so, you know. If we really feel like that he's the guy, I mean, you know, Victor Cruz is violent for him. And like I've been saying for months now, we need that big receiver. And obviously, everybody sees it too in the organization. They said that Evans is top in their priority. They said he might be there. The Giants are believing that he might be there. That's what reports say. I don't believe it, but that's what reports say. You know, he might be there. And that's what I've been saying. You know, let's break this down. Three quarterbacks go down. I mean, three quarterbacks go in the top 10. Three offensive linemen go in the top 10. A cornerback going to top 10, we got a shot. Because you got the Clowneys, you got the Watkins, you got the who I'm leaving out.
Two tackles, you got Matthews and Robinson in
Mack,
there.
Mack.
Khalil Mack, right.
Mack, you got the two tackles. You know, I mean, of course I said the three offensive linemen. So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Clowney, Mack, Watkins, all of them. And then what Gilbert did pick, and then if Buffalo picked Ebron, then Evans will be there. I'm trying to tell you, I got to stay optimistic, man. I really hope that he'll be there for
us. Well, Shakes, here's my advice to you. If you really want Evans that badly, you need to start plucking eyelashes, you need to start throwing pennies into fountains, you need to start looking for shooting stars, pulling some wishbones, because you are going to need some help.
You know, look, John, I walk the streets every day, okay? I walk the streets every day, and I'm very superstitious. And when I look on the floor and I see a penny with a heads up, I always pick it up and say, please let us get Evan. Please let us get Evan. We just got to have him, man. If he's on our team, it's over. And I had a conversation with Kashawn yesterday, and she sees my ways. She sees my ways. She knows what I'm saying. She understands what I'm saying. And I understand what she's saying, too. She got valid points. It was something that I brought up to her, and she said, well, why didn't you say that on yesterday's show to respond to me? And she's right, because I was racing. I was going off, you know, but this is what I was saying. She brought up the Super Bowl, how we was down 14-10, right? And, you know, without the offense, without that dominant offensive play, we lose that game, right? And that was the Plexico. That was a pass to Plexico, not Shockey, not Boss, Plex.
Don't forget Tyree catch either, obviously.
Exactly. Wide receivers. And so what I told her was, okay, yeah, we lose that game, but after we score, if I can recall, we left like what, 40 or 50 seconds to go to,
correct,
Tom Brady.
I think it was 30. Was it 38 or 48? It was something like that.
Uh huh. And what was the dagger that ended the game?
Well, you had a couple ones. You had the J. Alfred sack, but to me, the biggest play in that game, Shakes, for me, was Corey Webster knocking away that deep pass to Randy Moss. That, to me, was the play of that game that doesn't get publicized enough, because Brady threw a hell of a pass to Randy Moss down that sideline, and Corey Webster just reached out enough to get his hand on that football to knock it away.
You know what? You brought that, because that that's definitely a play that slips your mind. But it was definitely a big play. Big ups to Corey Webster. I know he was on a decline the last few years, but he played a big part in our Super Bowl. So big ups to Corey Webster. But, yes, the dagger was J. Alfred Sacks. J. Alfred Sacks. So don't poop-poop on Donald. Don't poop-poop on getting Donald, because Donald is light years way better than J. Alfred ever would have been. And I'm telling you, he's a beast. He's a beast. Don't knock on him. Trying to tell you, don't say, oh, we need offensive playmakers. Yes, we do. And there's a lot of them in this draft. We can get them in the second and third round. But if Evans is gone, gotta go Donald.
Well, you know, Shakes, you know what? I don't think I've asked you this question yet. In your perfect world, you pick Donald in the first round, right? What do you then do? Who do you want in the second round, and who do you want in the third round?
Okay, obviously, you already know I'm a Nick Loss guy, you know.
Uh-huh.
So he's dead in the second, of course, Nick Loss. And then in the third, of course, and the guy Ron brought him up, which I was smiling and I was giddy about, because I was like, yes, like I see Martavis Bryant, man. Bryant in the third round. So that's what I'm saying. Donald, Nicholas, and Bryant. Oh, that's just nasty, man. Our offense will be right. We got pass rushing. I mean, we ready to go. I'm feeling confident going into Detroit, and I think we will smack them if we had Donald.
Here's a question, though, Shakes. If you do make those three picks, are you comfortable enough with the offensive line to protect Eli Manning from Ziggy Ansah, from Ndamukong Suh, and from Nick Fairley?
I'm a little worried, you know.
Now, here's the thing. You talk about how important pass rush is, yet in your first three picks, you're not picking an offensive lineman to protect your quarterback from their pass rush.
That's only because I'm very high on the kid, Brian Stork. Hashtag Team Stork. Me and Rhody on Team Stork. Hey, Rhody. Shout out, Rhody. But, yeah, we on Team Stork bandwagon, and so If Stork is there in the fourth round, that's our guy. He's going to be our center for the next 10 years. And our line is set to me. I mean, I know I'll be a little worried about Bay, but I like Jerry. I think Jerry can plug in. I think even if Beatty can't go, how about we start short at left tackle and then Jerry at guard.
You know, honestly, Chase, what I would do, I would move Pugh to left tackle. Remember, he started at Syracuse 2 years at left tackle. That's who I would put there before I move Schwartz out there.
Yeah. That'd work, too. But who are you throwing at right tackle, though?
I think you'd have to figure that out, and I think that's an issue. I think that's why a lot of people want to pick a tackle here, because right now, you know, Charles Brown is really their third tackle, and he's the guy that got benched for a rookie last year in New Orleans. But I think right now Brown is probably your depth at that position.
Hey, let me say something else.
Yeah, real fast.
I'm sorry. But if we do trade that second round pick, we go up to six, like Steve said. We do that and grab Evans, right? And we miss out on a second, and say we throw in a fifth, okay? We got two of them, okay? So you throw in a fifth and a second, all right? We still got the third. And how about after the draft we get maybe if Finley is healthy, maybe him. And why don't we talk about the guy from the Jets, Justin Keller? Why don't we talk about him? Because he can't block?
Who's that can't block?
Keller from the Jets.
Oh, Dustin Keller. Yeah, I think Keller and Winslow Jr. are both guys. Well, Winslow Jr. is old with an injury history and off-the-field issues. But I think the issue with Keller generally is that he's not much of a blocker, correct?
Oh, okay. Well, I kind of like him because, you know, if y'all love that Ebron stuff, then there you go, you know. Finley, him, you know. So even if we do trade that second round pick, I mean, there are guys that we can get after this draft that, you know, we can probably plug in, and then we can focus on that main tight end, and maybe we can find one next year that can block and be a dominant tight end. But that's all I'm going to say to you right now. Thanks for taking my call, John.
Appreciate it, man. 201-939-4513. That was like a marathon call with Shakes that time. Gave him a lot of time. All right, we got three guys on the line, and we'll obviously take more calls to the rest of the show. I'm not cutting us off early or anything. It's still pretty early. Let's go to Steve down in Atlanta, Georgia. Steve, what's going on, bud?
Hi, John.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Hey, just following up on Shakes, you know, there was a precedent for picking a defensive tackle in this position. Last year, if you remember, we recall Carolina. You know, they had come off a bad year. And, you know, everybody's thinking they got to take offense, they need offense. And they took two defensive tackles in the first two rounds, built up their front seven, and it turned that franchise around.
Yeah, last year the Panthers took the star Lotu Lele kid. And then 2 years ago, if you want to talk about another team, the Chiefs, who picked in a similar spot, they picked Ontari Poe. So two tackles going around this point in the draft. That's correct.
Right. But what I'm thinking is, though, you have to listen to the guy who writes the checks, right? And he's saying, well, you got to fix the offense, right? And then after the owners' meeting, he said, okay, we had a good free agency, but let's see how the draft goes. So I think more than ever this year, it's all about, you know, having these rookies play right away. And if you look at the history, not a lot of rookies. I mean, take our draft for the last 5-6 years. How many rookies contributed, you know, as a rookie? I mean, how many of these draft picks contribute as a rookie? Not a whole lot.
Well, you know, here's the thing, Steve. I agree with you. Not a whole lot have, but I think they've been given opportunities. I'll go through the last bunch just really quickly here. I mean, Kenny Phillips was a factor early on in his rookie year. Then he hurt his knee. Jason Pierre-Paul, everyone knew when they drafted JPP that he was raw, and it was going to take a little while for him to get used to the NFL. I think he only played a year and a half of football in college, so you knew he was going to be a project. Hakeem Nicks had a pretty good rookie year. I think he caught more than 50 passes. Prince broke his foot, if you remember, that year. And he also, because of the lockout, only got like 2 or 3 weeks of training camp. So that was obviously a very unique situation. David Wilson would have gotten a lot of playing time if he actually held on to the football and didn't fumble every time he touched it. So he would have played, but his own mistakes took him off the field. And then obviously last year, Justin Pugh started every game. So I think from year to year, there's been different circumstances that have dictated whether or not guys have played or not.
Right, but they're all first-round draft picks. So we get one guy who contributed. Maybe this year is a little deeper draft, and we're picking pretty much earlier than we normally do in the second round. So we got two players that got to contribute right away.
I agree.
And so, I mean, if you look at our team, and the guy says we need to fix our offense, I mean, I'm not comfortable with the offensive line, and we need a pass catcher. So the question is, can Ebron be both that? You know, I'm not sold on Ebron. I think that how many tight ends come in and contribute right away as a rookie? I mean, he's being compared to Vernon Davis, and Vernon Davis, he didn't contribute much that first year.
That's true.
2 or 3 years to contribute.
Though in fairness, Vernon Davis also didn't have a quarterback on that roster that was worth a grain of salt that first year. But you're right. Generally speaking, tight ends don't seem to come into the league and make a huge impact right away. I think that's fair.
Yeah, and I think we're given, like, you got to fix this thing next year. I mean, we're not, like, on a 2 or 3 year plan. We put out a lousy product last year, and it's got to improve. So I think that they're going to take what they feel is the safest bet that's contribute right away. And I'm thinking Luan, Zach Martin. You know, I mean, Donald is enticing, though. I mean, I think he can come in and contribute. But are you fixing the offense? The boss says we got to fix our offense. So, I don't know. I'm thinking tackle. And I wouldn't be surprised if they did try to trade. I think it's going to be hard because it's going to be costly to move up. But if they fell in love with Evans, they may try it. But he'd have to slip past, I think, Tampa Bay to do that. And I don't know if that's going to happen. And then, so would you go down and try to pick up another second-round draft pick and have three players? Because we have three glaring needs, and that's the problem everybody's struggling with. I think we have two positions, we have two picks that can contribute, and we have three glaring needs, and that's wide receiver, tight end, and offensive line. I would not feel comfortable with this offensive line. I mean, I don't think Snee is going to work out. I mean, I'd be surprised if he did. And so, you know, I mean, I don't know. I think you got to go with the safe pick. I think they're looking who's going to get out in the field and be the safe pick next year. Those two players, I think, is going to be tight end. I think it's going to be offensive line, wide receiver, or wide receiver, offensive line.
And, Steve, also, quite frankly, I think it's fair to say that pass rush is probably a little bit of a need, too. I think, you know, on defense, as good as the Giants have gotten in terms of their free agent signings, they still are lacking a little bit in terms of having pure pass rushers there to help the team on defense.
Yeah, I would agree. If they could move down and pick up another second, then you could go with a pass rushing, you know, defensive end, one of those three picks. But, yeah, I mean, I agree. But, you know, I don't think our pass rush is going to be much different than last year. I mean, what did we do? We didn't lose much. You know, I don't know. I don't know. Who's the guy that went to Oakland? I mean, he had some sacks, but he didn't, you know, I think they all came in one game. So I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be much different than last year. But, yeah, you could always use pass rush. But I don't know if we can afford to go in that direction. If we only have two picks, then we have to fix our offense.
I appreciate the call, Steve. Thanks a lot, bud.
All right. Thank you, John.
You're welcome.
Have a good day.
You too. 201-939-4513. Mike's in Dumont. Mike, what's going on? Oh, shoot. Did I just knock Mike off? Mike, I'm sorry. Call right back. I'll put you right back up, Mike. I double-clicked the button and I knocked you off as soon as I put you on. Mike, that's my bad. Call us right back. I'll put you right back up. I'll put you ahead of everybody else that's on the line. Sorry about that. Let's go to Ben in New York. Ben, what's going on?
I think you got to go with offensive line. When we won the Super Bowls, we had a dominating offensive line. And when you can control the line of scrimmage, you have better than 50% of a chance to win the game. You could have all the skilled players you want. If you don't protect your quarterback, you're going to lose every game. That's why you got to have a left tackle. Will Beatty did not do a good job last year, and then he got injured. And so I would say you have to look strongly at an offensive tackle, you know. I was reading up on the Internet there with Walter Camp and a couple other draft guidebooks, and they think that Jordan, that Matthews fella from Texas A&M, he might be sliding down.
If Jordan Matthews somehow falls to the Giants at 12, that to me is an absolutely no-brainer pick. He is a franchise left tackle. Those guys don't grow on trees. He doesn't have any of the off-field red flags that Terrell Lewan has. I think you run to the podium as quickly as possible if Jake Matthews is on the board.
Well, you got to pick him. And if Terrell Lewan, if he could get over whatever off-the-field issues he had, I'd pick him. Or Matthews. And then in the second round, you know, I was reading up, there's a lot of good wide receivers. You got Brandon Cooks, and you got Odell Beckham. There's a lot of depth at wide receiver, and I think we can get a lot of good wide receivers in the second, third, or fourth round, depending upon who's going to fall at that position. So I would say in the first round, it's a no-brainer, offensive line. And then in the second round, you're looking at a playmaker. You could get a wide receiver. And like you said, C.J. Federici, the guy from Iowa.
It is Fedorowicz, just FYI.
Yeah. Fedorowicz, I can't pronounce
that. Yes, that's
okay.
There.
He's a good player.
He is
solid. And also Arthur Lynch, too. I like him, too.
Honestly, my feeling, if you do go offensive line in the first round, the more and more I've thought about it, I think you can still get a pretty dynamic wide receiver in that second round. And let me put it this way. I think there'll be more of a drop-off from your second-round wide receiver to your third-round wide receiver than there is from, let's say, a Troy Nicholas to a C.J. Fedorowicz. So I think I would go in that order, too. I'd go wide receiver second round, then I'd pick Fedorowicz in round three.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. You know, you got to have your quarterback has to be protected. The bottom line, if your quarterback is constantly getting abused and beaten up, you're going to lose. I don't care how good of a defensive line you got. I mean, it's important. But if you don't have a good offensive line, like the ones that we had in the past four Super Bowls, you're going to lose every game.
I hear you, Ben.
Yep. And the thing is this, Eli Manning, I believe, is a very good quarterback. And when the supporting cast around him broke down, either through injuries or inconsistent play, I mean, after a while, after you're taking these beatings every week, it wears on you. And now they got to build around Eli Manning again to get his confidence up. And I think they're going to do that. And also, there's the cuts coming up. I guess, was it another second round of cuts?
No, well, I mean, well, June 1st, sometimes you'll get some guys let loose by teams for salary cap purposes. So the Giants do have some cap space freeing up from David Boss on June 1st. So they might be able to make some additional moves there depending on what they do in the draft.
Yeah. So you got two possibilities. You got the draft, and you got the free agent cuts coming up. And I think Jerry Reese has done a good job. I mean, he took gambles, you know, like Adrian Robinson. You hope to God that this guy, that tight end that they picked a couple years ago, that he's going to come in with an attitude.
Well, you got to hope. That's,
your coach has got to instill in these players that they got to come in prepared. And that they got to practice like they're going to be starting.
Well, Ben, I'll say this. This is the last chance for Adrian Robinson. If he doesn't do this offseason, I don't think he's going to be on the roster this year. I appreciate the call, Ben. Thanks a lot.
All right. You take care.
Hey, you too, Ben. Great stuff. Appreciate it. 201-939-4513. Mike is back from Dumont. Hey, Mike, sorry about that. My fat fingers got the best of me. What's going on?
John, I thought it was my fat fingers taking me off speaker.
It was me.
How's everything going?
I'm doing all right, Mike.
Points, and I know we're getting towards the end of this show. First off, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I too love Luan in the first. As we've spoken before, Evans isn't going to be there no matter how much we hope, and I don't think we should trade up to get him because we just have too many needs to lose those valuable picks, in my opinion. In the second, I'd love to then turn around and go for Nicholas, go tackle, tight end, two bruisers. And then the third and on from there, try to find maybe a hidden gem in the rough with a wideout or a running back or some more offensive weapons. But I'd love to go Luan, Nicholas. Want to see what your thoughts were there.
Look, I think if you go Luan, Nicholas, I think you're committing yourself to a very conservative offense. I always saw that because I think you're lacking weapons. So I think if you do go in that direction, I think you're really – you know, saying, look, we're going to be a defensive-oriented, time-of-possession, smash-mouth type of football team, and that's fine. If that's the direction you want to go, that's okay. But that's also going to put a lot of pressure on the defense here to be a Seattle Seahawks, San Francisco 49er type of defense. And as many moves as the Giants have made, I'm still not sure they're in that category quite yet because they don't have the pass rush of those teams.
Right, kind of taking us back to the old school way,
right,
the Giants football, but I don't know if the defense is there yet either. And that kind of leads me to my next point. This whole nonsense with Will Hill. When do we find out what, if any, the penalty is, and what if his appeals actually work, and what's the time frame on that stuff?
Honestly, I don't think anybody knows. I mean, the NFL hasn't even made it official yet that he did fail the drug test. I'm not even sure if, you know, if that gets announced or, you know, if the I think maybe they have to go through the appeals process before they announce if there's if there's some type of suspension. You know, all this right now is conjecture. The Giants and the NFL haven't even officially announced anything's happened yet. So we're basically all going on media reports here. So honestly, I would hope that this thing gets resolved by training camp. I would hope. But, I mean, I think you could be, you know, in the wind here for a good 2-3 months.
Such a knucklehead. I mean, he was a knucklehead back in his St. Peter's day. He was a total knucklehead in Florida, and now it just continues on to the pros.
Hey, look, Mike, here's the bottom line. Everyone wonders how the Giants got this super talented kid that's a great player as an undrafted free agent. Well, this is why.
Well, you know, I was psyched with all these great offseason moves Jerry made, and now this nonsense kind of popped my balloon. You know, think of the defense with him matched up with Hill, the role matched up with Hill the whole season, and Stevie Brown as a three safety set guy. You got McClain at strong, Beeson in the middle, and whoever at weak, maybe Williams or Pacinger. I mean, that can make up for a lot of Tuck leaving and not possibly getting the same type of pass rush we've gotten in years past. But this just really brings me down, and I'm hoping Stevie Brown can step up because you know Hill's going to get some sort of suspension, and I don't know if the Giants are even going to keep him, so I don't know. A little disappointed, but looking forward to a good season.
I appreciate the call.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, man. 201.
Have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too, Mike. Appreciate it. Stay on the phones. Good job today on the phones, everybody. Let's go to Derek down in Atlanta, Georgia. Derek, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, John.
What's up, Derek?
Hey, so, you know, I called in a few times talking about the defense, and I still believe that, you know, we should go defense and Aaron Donald, and, you know, why be a good defense when you have a chance to be a suffocating defense if you can? But I have a Giant friend who also, you know, made some points the way, you know, you guys have been going and say, we need offense, offense, offense. And I come around to think this way. If the Giants decide that they want offense and they need a playmaker and they need to make sure that this offense starts functioning, then I'm saying, why not go up and get a Sammy Watkins? I know that we're going to lose picks. I know we might lose a second round, maybe first round next year. But free agency has basically taken that that away, you know, as a you can use the free agency as a fill-in for the draft, like, you know, other teams have done. And you go and you take, you next year, you use free agency as your first round pick next for next year. I say go get, if you're gonna go offense, go get Sammy Watkins. You need a right tackle? Okay, I mean, you need a tackle? Everybody's talking about the blue chip left tackles. Why not? We drafted Justin Pugh, and one good thing about him, this guy can play left tackle, he can play guard, he's already playing right tackle. So move him if Will Beattie starts faltering. Move him to left tackle, and then go get a Cyrus Kondro with maybe a third round in the draft.
I'm not sure he's going to be there in round three. I mean, I think he's going to be a late second rounder. I think the Juwan James kid he's Tennessee, right? I think he's going to probably be a late second round pick too. Morgan Moses is another guy that's probably going to be a first-round pick now. Look, tackle is a deep position in this draft. You'll be able to get a tackle in the second round. You're going to be hard-pressed in the third round to be able to get a starting left tackle, I think. I think there you're getting into very risky territory.
And you know what I did? I taped the combine this year, and, you know, went back and looked at the tackle day, and I've seen a couple of these tackles that no one's talking about that I did a really good job. I went back and read some stuff about them, and it's, you know, they're not, you know, like, you know, the guy said, blue chippers, number top six in the things, but they can come in and be productive. This Joe, what's his name, Batino? Nevada?
Batonio, the kid, interior offensive lineman you're talking about, right?
He's the offensive tackle. But what I'm saying is that everybody's talking about when you get a tackle is saying we have to get a left tackle. Well, I don't think you need to get a left tackle because you actually got potentially two people on your team right now that can play left tackle. And that's Pugh and you got Will Beattie. So why not say, hey, we go get another, if we're going to go, let's make a splash. Let's go up and let's get Watkins if that's what we want to do on offense. If we want to go offense, let's go get Watkins. And the third round, we'll get a right tackle. And then fill in from there what else we need in the offense. You know, hopefully we can get, you know, a running back later on in the draft or whatever. But that's how I see it now. I mean, if that's how you want to go as an offense, staying at 12 and talking offense, I don't want to go that way.
Well, that's fine though, but you can still get an offensive player in the second round that's, you know, pretty darn good. And I just don't want to give up that second round pick because I feel like you can get a starting player in this draft with that second round pick, and I don't want to lose it.
I actually came in part of your interview with the guy, and he was saying there was and I heard the part where he said there's six blue chip players in this draft. And Sammy Watkins, I believe you said, was one of them, right?
Correct, yeah. His six blue-chip players, and this seems to be a general consensus. You have the two tackles, Matthews and Robinson. You have Khalil Mack. You have Jadeveon Clowney. You have Sammy Watkins, and he actually put Mike Evans in there as his sixth guy.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a difference between – I like Mike Evans, but I think there's a little gap between Sammy Watkins and Mike Evans. So I'm saying if you really want to make a splash and you really want to go offense and Cruz get what he wants and you want to single up on a wide receiver and you want an all-pro wide receiver to take some pressure off of Cruz, you go up and get Watkins. You pay what you have to pay for him. And you worry about next year. And if you don't have a first-round draft pick next year, then so be it. Then we'll just work from second round and on.
I appreciate the call, Derek.
All right, I'll talk to you later, John.
Have a good one, man. Have a great weekend. 201-939-4513. Rocky's in Panama City. Rocky, what's going on?
What's up, John?
What's up, Rock?
Nah, I think we all know we're not moving up in the draft.
I agree.
I'm like you. We need those picks. I know Jerry's missed on a few of them mid-rounders, but he's not going to get better at it if he trades them away, you know. And I agree with Kashawn. I mean, you got to go with Ibram if he's there. I'm afraid he's not, and if he's not, the more I think about it, I think you might have to get Donald. I mean, I know they keep talking about his size. Mike Patterson's only 6'1". And 285, I think he could put on 15 pounds pretty easy. I mean, the kid's still going to bulk up a little bit. 6'1", 300 pounds, I mean, I would take that as a DT, you know.
Yeah, you know what?
But
I hear you. And by the way, I should Batonio, the kid out of Nevada, he played tackle in college, by the way. But the reason I call him an interior offensive line because most people believe he will be more of a guard at the pro level than a tackle. So just FYI, and all, he did play tackle in college, a little undersized. He's projected as more of a guard.
Oh, okay, yeah. And another thing, nobody's talking about this. I'm kind of hoping we could get that kid from Ole Miss, Moncrief, around the fourth round if he fell that far. Maybe give up a third round and fourth.
Who do you want to give up a third rounder for? I'm sorry, I didn't catch that, Rocky.
No, I mean, Moncrief. I was hoping he'd fall to us around round four, but might have to get him round three.
Honestly, there's a decent chance Moncrief gets picked in round two, and he's not even there in the third round, to be honest with you.
Oh, no. Well, I was going to say, I hadn't finished doing my mock draft. I just started. I got a few more positions, and then I'm going to start working on it. But another thing I want to ask, Don, do you know if we're going back to our red alternate jerseys?
As far as I understand it, the red jerseys are not in the plans. The Giants lost way too many big games wearing those red uniforms, and that buried them, for lack of a better explanation.
I mean, the white pants are cool, but I was hoping we'd go back to our red jerseys.
Thanks, Rock.
Appreciate you.
Have a good one, man. 201-939-4513. Hey, Anthony's in Phoenix. I haven't heard from Anthony in a while. What's up, bud?
Yeah, how we doing, John?
Doing well, Anthony. How are you?
Excellent. I loved your caller this morning, Rob. It was very nice. He actually took my thunder. You know that I'm a big Lawan fan and Nicholas fan, but I really enjoyed him. He more or less solidified what I've been thinking all along. But, John, I want to just go back to agree with Lance for a long time. We got the 12th pick, John. We've got the 12th pick. When was the last time we had the 12th pick?
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, we're picking 12th. Why do you want to try to move up? What, 12th isn't high enough? You aren't getting a good enough player at 12? I think people are trying to get too cute here. You know, Jerry Reese is not going to give up ultra-valuable second- and third-round picks to move up five spots in the first round when you're already picking 12. If you can't get a good player at 12 that's going to start right away and be an impact guy, you know what? You shouldn't be doing this for a living.
No, we're getting a splash at 12. The only thing, you know, we're going to use that pick. I don't see us trading up. That's ridiculous. We might trade back, and that's the only thing that if we could trade back and get Martin, trade with the Jets, something like that. We talked about this before. The Jets need a cornerback. If we could trade back and get Martin, then I would see getting another second round pick. That would be really nice because then we actually get three guys that could start, which we could fill those three holes that we really have. But if we don't, I'm okay with Ibram. I'm okay with Lawan. I'm okay with Evans. If they fall to us, that's – and one of them should because they really should because Minnesota, everybody needs – they all need quarterbacks. Cleveland needs a quarterback. Too many needs for quarterbacks, and they're going to be afraid. They're going to be afraid without getting a quarterback.
Yeah, Anthony, I agree. Really think, you know, I said yesterday that I think two quarterbacks are going those first 11 picks. I'm starting to slide back towards Rob's position. I think three might be off the board. And quite frankly, if you see those three guys go off in like the first, let's say, eight picks, let's say the Vikings pick the third guy at number eight, I would not be shocked if you saw either the Rams or the Titans say, you know what? Who knows when Derek Carr is going to get taken later on in this first round. We want to get a young quarterback in here. Maybe they'll even pick Derek Carr as a fourth quarterback, to be quite honest with you.
Exactly. And I'm happy with either one. If Evans falls to his hole, wonderful. If LeBron is there, that's fine. If we get my guy LeJuan, that's fine. I don't see us getting Donald. I just don't see that happen at the 12th pick. I just don't see that happening. We filled some holes there. They're going to pick later on for that position. But in the second round, you know, there's a lot of guys. I like Nicholas if he's there. But if we grab LeBron, then we've got to go, you know, maybe somewhere along the line, like Suafalo or Guandijo.
Yeah, it's
messing
tough
up his name there. These names, I don't know where they get them from. But we could go that way, you know, and I'm happy with that. But I was seriously thinking, if we could get Martin and trade back, I like that idea. I really do. That would give us three picks. We can get a first-round pick at 18 and two second rounds. And if we really think about that, and I'm sure Len would agree with me, we'd love to fill those holes, and we would be able to do that. So I really appreciate your call with Rob this morning, and I'm always listening every day, and I'm always there on Twitter giving my nonsense.
I got it, Anthony. I appreciate it, my friend. Great to hear from you. Have a great weekend, okay?
You too, babe.
Thanks, Anthony. Appreciate it. And you know what? It's funny, and I would have slapped myself in the face if I would have said this 3 weeks ago. And Rob, who actually has Martin ranked ahead of LeJuan in the first round, you know, was on board with this too. Look, if you could trade back to get Zach Martin, I'm down with that. But I think it's risky. I think Martin could be gone 15 or 16, so you can't really go back too far. You know, maybe Morgan Moses sneaks ahead of him, then you can get him at 18. That'd be great. But, you know, a small part of me, would consider taking Martin over LeJuan at 12. Let me explain why. He doesn't have the off-the-field red flag, so I think he's a safer pick. He's more versatile. So if OBD does come back and have a great year, you know, what are you going to do with Taylor LeJuan? Where are you going to play him? You can't play left tackle. You know, Zach Martin's a guy that can slide inside and play guard if you want to leave Pugh out there on the right side of right tackle. So I get, while the ceiling isn't as high, I think it's a safer pick to go with Martin instead of LeJuan. So I think that's interesting. I really, really do. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Roberto in San Diego. What's the weather out there in San Diego today, Roberto? What do you got for me?
It's lovely out here. You know, you got to enjoy this California weather.
Oh, man. Yeah, what is it, like 85 and sunny?
It's probably about 75 and sunny.
Oh, that's even better. Ugh, you make me jealous.
Hey, first of all, I want to send a shout-out to you guys. I've been listening to you guys for a couple weeks now straight. Consistently, and you guys really made the off season a lot more entertaining. So shout out for that.
Thank you, Roberto. I appreciate it.
Yeah, a couple points I wanted to make. I think a lot of people been talking about trading up. Obviously, you know, I think we got a lot more needs than just one. I don't think any of the top 10 players are going to put us in a Super Bowl contention. There's a lot of things that we need to address. I think by trading up, we've handicapped ourselves by doing that.
I agree.
Question I had was, what if Ebron is there? We end up taking him. I don't think we pass on him. So what if we take him? At what point do you address receiver? Would you address receiver at the second or in the third round?
That's actually a great question, because if you pick Ebron in the first round – do you have that playmaker? So do you have to then pick a wide receiver in round two? I think the answer to that question is probably no. I would wait till round three or maybe even round four if somebody's dropping on the board to pick my wide receiver if you pick Ebron in the first round. And then in the second round, Roberto, I'd consider Scott Crichton, the defensive end out of Oregon State, who I think is a very good player. I think you'd also consider taking one of the top guards in the draft, the X-Men, Xavier Silofilo, that guy. You could even consider taking the Richburg kid, the center. You could take Turner, the other center on the board. I think I would then, if I pick Ebron first round, I think it's a great question. I would pick probably an interior offensive lineman and a pass rusher in rounds two and three, and then a receiver in round four. But I could flip-flop the, you know, four and three. If you see a receiver in round three I really like, I would take one in round three. But I think that's how I would organize the first four picks. I'd put more of a emphasis on the O-line over wide receiver if I go with Ebron in that first round.
Right. So your opinion, there's definitely a lot more availability on wide receivers out there, so you can wait till the third, fourth round maybe.
I agree. I think you can get – let me put it this way. I think there's a drop-off from second to third round wide receiver, but I think you can still get a good developmental guy that could develop into a starter in the third and fourth round. That might take a little while, but I still think you can get a very good player with a high ceiling in round three as a wide receiver.
All right. Second thing I had, if we do get a left tackle in the first round, let's say Ebron's not there, let's say we get the kid out of Michigan, do you guys foresee the Giants maybe making a move on moving Beattie to the right side, keeping Pugh at guard, and just getting a beast left tackle?
Yeah, you know, people have asked me about this before, and unfortunately, you know, Will Beattie profiles as a left tackle. He's a guy that's a lot more athletic and quick and fast than he is strong. So he's a guy you want out there on the left side going up against the other team's best speed rusher. Where Will Beattie struggles sometimes, it is in his hand position and his anchoring. So when he takes on these powerful rushers that bull rush him, he can get pushed back into the backfield. I mean, we all saw last year what happened when Jared Allen basically pushed him into Eli Manning's lap. And Jared Allen's actually a fairly undersized defensive end. So I think if you're putting Beattie out there on the right side, a right tackle, I think you're almost playing to his weakness more. Because usually you have bigger guys playing left end. You have guys that are stronger, guys that can bull rush you. And I just think Beattie's a better player at left tackle. So I think you give him a chance to win that job back this year. You hope he plays like he did back in 2012. And if he doesn't, then I think you have a very difficult decision to make about him next offseason.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. I really appreciate you guys taking my call. Hopefully you guys have a good weekend.
Love the first-time calls, Roberto. Thanks a lot, man. You have a great one, too.
All right, you too.
Have a good one. Final call of the show is Frank down in Tampa Bay. Frank, what's going on, pal?
Hey, John. Great interview again, as always.
Appreciate it.
Back to the – just quickly to the Lawan situation. I just – can't help, though, but see if we draft him, then what happens? Either he's got to play the right side, Beattie can't play the right, or we got to move Pugh to guard and the whole sneeze situation. But otherwise, you put Beattie on the bench, and that's the same basically as cutting him. It's still an enormous amount of wasted money. So I just don't see how it all comes together. I just don't see the scenario where it makes sense. Someone's going to end up on the bench that we'd prefer probably to be playing for, you know, monetary and other reasons. Just two quick things. The one thing I think that we're missing and that we need desperately on this team is, you know, what I like to call a plucker, you know, someone that can go up and get the ball. Eli's not a pinpoint passer. He's great at recognition and getting the ball, you know, roughly where we need it to be caught. And when he's had that plucker, you know, be it Burris and, you know, 07, 08, Nixon, 10, 11, you know, think of some of the grabs Burris made. Think of some of the grabs that, you know, halftime of the Green Bay game.
I agree.
When, he throws it up for grabs.
I agree.
You know, even Boston Ballard were able to do that. You
and
know,
last year, Frank, not enough wide receivers, I thought, fought for the ball in traffic and won those 50-50 balls. I agree 100%.
Exactly. Or a tight end. And if you look at the roster right now, I don't see it. You know, Cruz, not that guy. Jernigan's not that guy. Even Randall, he's not really that guy, you know. And that's why, you know, when I look at Ebron, and a quick question on him, is it possible, number one, well, I guess we don't know what the offense is going to look like, but is there any opportunity, in your opinion, to split him out wide and, you know, and use him kind of like Graham does? When I look at his film, after the catch.
Yeah, Ebron played a lot of slot wide receiver in North Carolina. You can definitely split him out in the slot, even split him out wide, and you can get one-on-one matchups with a tight end or a safety. I think that's something certainly that you could use him at, and that would be one of his strengths. What's your final point, Frank?
Yeah, because that's what I'm thinking. Maybe two birds, and that way, you know, it's not so important that we get that wide receiver, you know, then get a serviceable tight end in the second or whatever. The other thing is, you know, with only those, you know, six impact players, it looks like, you know, that we're probably not going to get one
of
those.
I'm not sure to say only six impact players. He just thinks there are six players that are head and shoulders above everybody else. That doesn't mean you're not getting a blue chip impact guy at 12. You're just not getting one of those guys that Rob Rang would consider a blue chip, you know, once in a generation type of guy. You know what I mean?
Right, right. But the one guy that seems to have gotten out of off everyone's radar for reasons that I can't really understand, but would be, you know, Gilbert and the other cornerback. And I have what might be kind of a weird question here, but, you know, if he were to fall to 12, I mean, I think a lot of people think that he's easily a top 10 talent. And do you think there's any possibility that with the Will Hill situation that we could, you know, take him? I think he's well, you know, he's certainly a great value at 12. And do you think he has any potential to learn the safety position to play while we're waiting? And then, you know, he's potentially a backup for learning, you know, learning both positions and having, you know, insurance if Hill is not there. And if we don't need him, you know, he could be trade bait for maybe a top 10 pick or something next year.
Who's that, Denard? You want to have him do that?
Denard or Gilbert, I think.
I think Denard's more of a physical guy, but look, if you're drafting Denard or Gilbert at 12, you're picking them to be a cornerback. You're not picking them to teach him how to play safety. I honestly think that's a bit of a reach, Frank.
Yeah, because, you know, I think of Seahorn, kind of the opposite deal,
right.
You know. But he seems like the best value, I think, that could potentially be there at 12. You know, just looking, you know, taking position aside, and if we're looking at the, quote, best player available, I think he... He's going to be hard-pressed, especially if Ebron's gone, not to be called that. But just a thought. But thanks, John. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thanks, Frank.
Yourself.
You too, bud. Good to Bye-bye. Hear from you. And everybody, great work. Next week, let me give you the rundown here, folks. It's going to be a great week here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Dane Brugler, who does draft work for CBS Sports as well, he'll be joining us. Oh, shoot. I think it's on Tuesday. I'll be talking to Tony Pauline from DraftInsider.net. On Wednesday afternoon, he'll be joining us. I'll play that back on Thursday. And then we're going to have Matt Miller from Bleacher Report join us the week of the draft on that Tuesday. I'll also get a Giants beat reporter on at some point next week. They're trying to get some inside information from that side. Lance Meadow will join me on the show one day next week. I'll make sure that happens. Then, obviously, the week of the draft will have a lot of great stuff as well. Everybody, thanks for joining us this week. It's finally coming. All this what if stuff is about to go away. I can't wait. Well, we got about 9 more shows to talk about it right here on Giants.com. We'll see you on Monday. Enjoy your weekend. Survive the rain. We'll see you then. Have a good one.